feeling fucking restless tonight, man. Like, when shit doesn't work out, I always want to push harder. Find the next objective, you know. Find the next main focus. It always sucks when things don't work out. When you make mistakes, you have to fix the mistakes. Sometimes, you just gotta throw the whole fucking thing away and start over again. And that's the difference between a beginner and a master. Now, I'm out here putting in work every day. I see both fives go by. Every day. I'm just putting in work. Because that's all I know how to do. It's all I'm good at. Is work. I don't do well long term with a lot of things. But I like going to work. So, I'm out here. Just rolling, moving, stuck in my mind. That's an interesting place to be at my age. Just looking down the road and thinking, well, shit, man. Okay, I guess we definitely know that that is not the course for us. Because I don't stop. I just keep pushing, dominating my field. Doing things in my field, at my terminal, that other people don't do. Why? Because that's who I am. I'm never going to stop. Never. Keep it pushing. The thrill is in the chase. That's where the real success is. I've done many things to make a dollar. I don't think I'll ever stop. I don't think I'll ever retire. I don't ever want to. I just want to keep working. I can't relax. I can't help but think about the opportunities that are going by that I don't know about, that I need to find out about so that I can do better. So I can do better. Build bigger. That's the goal. Sometimes you just gotta start over and get it all back again just to see if you can. And I know I can. That's a brainless activity right there, fellas. Just to exist for spite? Is that enough? I really like Dr. Eric Thomas. I stumbled on him. It was like 15 years ago. And he said, you know, it didn't take me long, and I'm paraphrasing, it didn't take me long to figure out that if they got up moving at 8 a.m., 7 a.m., 6 a.m., I needed to be doing it early, because they may have had the advantage of understanding the game, but they weren't going to outwork me. They're not going to outwork me. I would hold my professors and have them regrade my paper 2 and 3 times until I got it. Not going to outwork me. If I got to get up at 2 a.m. to beat you there first, you're not going to beat me. You may have more insight in the beginning, but when you show up, I'm already going to be there. As you're coming in, I'm already opening the door and walking in the building. Yes. When you're putting your clothes on, I've already got 45 minutes in at the gym. Because I want to start my day every day. Because you're not going to outwork me. And that has been in my head for the longest time. You just get in there. You get it done. You balance the scales. You make sure you are heard. You make sure that when you speak, it carries. That's what I want. And that's what I want to be surrounded by. I give it all. And then some. I may not know in the beginning when I'm going to be there. Going to learn. I'm going to spend my time reading. I'm going to spend my time educating myself, moving, shaking, because you're not going to beat me. It's just not going to happen. That's an issue I've been finding is trying to find my people to compete with. Trying to find my people to really get in there. Let's make this amazing. But it's not that often in a serious conversation you will hear me say the words, "I don't know." In fact, if I have the ability to look something up, cross-check it while we are discussing something that I've never heard of before, you're not going to know about it. Why? Because that's how important it is for me to learn and gain knowledge so that we can keep this going. Direction we're going. I don't like the fact that we have all the social media. We have this and that. And we're falling apart. But everybody's a touch panel away. I don't like it at all. I'm not the first to say it. I won't be be the last to see it if we don't do something about it now. You guys know me. You know I have kids. I love my kids. There's a great many sides to me. There's just the way it is. I've been called out for being mean for, now, I don't know exactly what was said, because I don't really know the person very well, but it is what it is. But I got upset at first. But just like anything, that is one moment in time. Their perception, just like their opinion of me, is none of my business. It's not. It's not for me to try to change. Who knows? You know, it could have been something that I said that I thought was funny, that me and my kids have a relationship, but someone else on the outside heard it and was like, oh, that's tore up. I'm not going to apologize for that. Me and my kids have relationships where we understand what we need to be doing, where we understand how we play, work, learn, write, read. We have a process. I don't have to explain that to anybody, but if you think about it, I'm willing to bet there's parents out there who are like, yeah, I understand. Me and my kids have a process, or this and that, that and the other. It is what it is. I offer no apologies. When I was coming up, love was seldom spoken, but it was a hot meal. It was a cool treat. It was a trip to the lake. It was a foot in your ass. It was picking some switches, because you ain't going to act that way. You know? Just dropping straight dope. Telling you, hey, get right. Do this. Love was all over the place. Now, it's wild out here. Everybody wants to be soft about it. There's a time and a place for that. It's behind closed doors. It's when you're sitting at the dinner table with your family, going over your day. That's when you get into the meat. Potatoes of how your day was. You're able to take off the shell around your loved ones, because you know you're safe, they know they're safe, and they can talk in depth and not be shallow. Yes, there's a place for that. Unfortunately, people have lost sight of that. Etiquette. All of that. People who know what they want and go after it, and want other people to do the same thing in their own group. They're the oddballs. Maybe they always have been. But you don't stop when you're tired. You stop when you're done. Coming up, you didn't go have fun with your friends and took your clothes and put away, took your chores are done, your homework done, even if that meant sitting at the table crying. I feel like such an oddball because I want routine, and maybe it's just a part of where I'm at in the grand spectrum of things, you know? Maybe it's just a part of what makes me tick, but I find nothing, absolutely nothing more welcoming than proper tended to room, baseboards well cleaned, windows cleaned, dusted, a linen scent in the air. That's amazing. Mistakes along the way, but I just keep pushing. I don't stop. I have a hard time sitting down. My hourglass running out of sand. I've got people to go see. I've got chores to do. What happened to everybody working together? What happened to taking pride in the presentation? Yeah. So, it's the oldest idea ever. Earn your place. Take care of it. Earn it. Take care of it. Taking care of it, working with the family that you've created. The problem for a lot of people is they don't want it. You know, I always wanted a family in my entire life. My own little family, my own people that I could rely on, that I could work with, that We could work back and forth, pushing each other to our limits, seeing just how far we could go to be better and better and better and better. It's crazy, man. People think that I'm wrong for that. And that's their opinion. However, I don't think there should be a child graduating high school that's unable to read, that's unable to do elementary math, that's unable to understand elementary science. It happens every day because that family unit is gone. Because of the need to simply have fun. There's no foundation built. It's short-sighted. It needs to be rectified. Listen to the ones that have made their mistakes and want to give you the answers to avoid making them. You know, that's every, at least in my thought process, that would be every parent's goal, is to provide a foundation. Make it so your child reaches success quicker. I'm not much into things will be as they will be. I believe that till the land, you make the rows, you sow the rows, and you harvest. That's how you get the fruit of your labor. Make a plan, set your goal, and take as many steps as you need to reach that goal. Step it out. If a step doesn't work, step back. Keep working it over and over and over until you find success. Can't see something and someone else can't, open your eyes wide. Get a brighter light. One of the principles that I still use to this day come from Brian on the hog farm. Hagerstown said, you get down pressure washing these barns, do it again. When you think you're done, do it again. That's a great, phenomenal piece of advice. You know, growing up, there's countless times in my life I would sweep the floor. Other people would come behind me and sweep it again and find more stuff. There's no limits for how many times you can go over something until it's perfected. That's the difference between the master and the beginner. The problem becomes when we don't have any self-discipline. we want to give up, when we start telling ourselves we'll never be good enough, when someone's criticism is given too much entry into our psyche, they could have said something and it meant nothing to them. It was just off key a slight little bit. And because you don't have the mental ability to understand, it wasn't anything to that person. They dealt with more difficult words, tougher tasks, and they were just saying just to blow off steam to go, hey man, try a little harder next time. And that was it. But you got in your head and you let it defeat you. Is that your fault? Where does the blame lie? Well, the blame is not relevant. It doesn't matter where the fault lies. It matters how you turn it into productivity. Yeah, we could cry about criticism all day, or we could pump it, turn it, get out of our own head, and get to work, because that is going to teach you critical thinking. And the sooner you learn that in life, the better everything will be. When you are situationally aware, when you walk into a room and you start clocking eyes, foot space, shoes, patterns, when you start doing that, you're going to become more situationally aware. You're going to be able to take the person's name the first time you hear it and assign it to the shirt that they have on, so that you don't forget their name. Ryan. Black shirt, Ryan. Susan. Glasses, Susan. Big glasses, Susan. Why would we go from glasses Susan to big glasses Susan? Because Stephanie just walked in. She's got small frames. Small frame Stephanie, big glass Susan. So when we do that, when we're able to make the association, and we're able to fire it off in our brain quick, people will take notice when they don't have to repeat themselves. People will be drawn to your quick senses. Now, of course, there's the other side of that. How do we figure that out without a coach? We don't need to worry about that. We all know. And we've all turned it into something positive, or we've let it destroy us. Situational awareness is very important. So being able to walk into a room and sidestep the chair that wobbles back and forth, making us look like a big goofball in a way that's not what we like. So when I tell you people's opinions and perceptions of you are none of your business, That's why. You have no idea the key trigger exercises they're using, that they've formulated in their mind. You don't know. You could just be rolling along and you find something funny. Something else could be going on around you. You're laughing. What is going on around you, they don't find particularly funny, but they've just managed to make it what you're laughing about. Now, situation awareness means that you are aware of what's going on around you, and you're just enjoying your day, being happy, completely apart from whatever it is that's going on around you that is absolutely none of your business. That's power, my friend. Of course I see that over there. It's none of my business. I'm laughing about my own business. And you should care about yours. Mental strength is very important. It goes right along with the ability to stay up for 38 hours to get the job done. Instead of having 6 loads, you get 7. It's doing what others haven't done. There's always something you can improve on just about everything. Whether you will or not, there's a choice that you will actively have to make. Walk in to my job, I'm the happiest guy there. 2 reasons why. I'm the top. People could do what I'm doing. They chose not to do it. I snatched it after asking a question or two, because I too have trust issues. And now never give it up. The money's too good. The position's too great. And it fits me too well. It's perfect for me. It matches me real good. Because I don't have anyone standing over me. I'm able to get in and get out and get things done swiftly, saving time, increasing my pocketbook, making sure the dough hits me. Everyone can do what I do. They just choose not to. I refuse to believe that I'm special. It's a matter of who you are. I see a need, I feel a need. It's not just something that you hear from time to time in a Time Life movie. This is a fact. Who I am and how I treat you is 100% dependent upon who you are and how you treat me, because that is very important. And if you don't think it's the way it is today, you're sadly mistaken. The difference is the verbiage. Oh yeah. Older verbiage, newer verbiage, whether you're simping for it or you're a thought, or you're 2 pound of bag, it all boils down to how you treat people and how you want to be treated, and whether it's reciprocated or not. Through the years, decades, evolution of villages to towns to cities in the metropolis, it has all been the same at the core. Major differences being the amount of influence credited to each other based upon the work, the proven ethics and morals between the persons. That's all it is. Two hunters in the Stone Age fight off a saber-toothed walrus. They've proven to each other they've the skills to keep each other alive and safe. You can't match that by just a word. Now that's equity. That's bonding. That's trial by fire. And I think the verbiage of this day is trauma bonding. They have taken something so epic where two people were able to prove themselves to each other and themselves and the others, that they were able to get through the situation. They took something that was beautiful, majestic, animalistic, holy, pure, and they watered it down, and they castrated it and called it trauma bonding. And that's not healthy. Well, I can tell you this. I can tell you that the men and women that work the fire department, the men and women that work the bomb squad, the men and women overseas that work the IEDs, they're all bonded trial by fire, proving themselves, because that's what makes a good team. They know they can rely on each other. They know that they are both equally yoked, and they both are there to be the best, and they're going to come out on the other side victorious through all adversities. You may call that trauma bonding. I call it trial by fire. I call it victory sweet, pure victory. nothing better than looking around, seeing your teammates, and knowing exactly where you can rely on them in different points of the field. That's the entire reason for so many different turn of phrase. Aces in their places. Come on, guys. Come on, guys. We've got the evening rush. I need my aces in their places. All right, ladies. Let's get prepared. We've got a couple of wells coming in. I need my card sharks out there. Do you smell the money? Come on. Let's get to our tables. That's the important. Situations that leave no doubt. When I'm headed into trouble, I want so and so. Because we almost don't have to speak. I know what they're looking for. They know what I'm looking for. And we get tenacious. All in all, you can't very well find that if you allow yourself to get into your head. If you allow yourself to give up. You see, I don't believe that it's fair of me to overlook potential in someone and not push them. Because they may not see it, but when they do see it, it's such a sight, beauty to behold. When someone sees it, the flint sparks, the sparks ignite, and we have fire. We have ignition. They're believing in themselves. They're becoming unstoppable. That's very important. Because that too is something that becomes unshakable, unflappable. That can be used, relied upon, it's beautiful, captivating. I'm stubborn, I'm loyal. If I stay on your ass, it's because the flint hasn't sparked enough to catch. You haven't realized your potential. You see, it's not when I'm redirecting you, when I'm griping, when I'm bitching, that you should be wearing. No, it's when I'm quiet. It's when I don't push you to see the strength that you carry inside. If I walk by you, having known you, and I'm a lot quieter, it could be nothing. Give it a day. I have one of those brains that fires off 1,000 thoughts a second sometimes. I have the ability to stay up for hours with absolutely no ingested chemicals. Why? Because I will not be outdone. I will not be outworked. You will not best me on my efforts alone. And if you beat me, I'm going to come back. I'm going to learn. I'm not quitting. I'm going to be right there. Because I've got that fire. Because I don't have the time to wallow around doing nothing. That's not what I was put on earth for. That is not why I am here. Everyone comes across a different set of circumstances that will lead you better off. Off. And a lot of times, the key is in your approach, in your discipline. It's in your skill sets. If you're just coming out to some dough and you gotta knead it and then get it rolling. You can't just poke it a couple times with your fingers. You gotta get in there. Move. Get the air moving around in the dough. Roll it, flip it, pat it. Put on some James Brown and get on up. Get it rolled. Now, whether or not you decide, this ain't for me. This is kiddie stuff. That's the difference. That's a world of difference. You see, because it's the type of stuff of that nature. People are watching. They think it's a good enough test to see exactly how much effort you're willing to put into that dough. A good friend of mine has several degrees. He decided he's going to work dough for 20 years and drink beer. And that lesson that I just spoke about, I just put that together thinking about my good friend John Michael Stinson. And it's true. You can get run-of-the-mill pizza, or you can get a full course. You cannot have both. Ladies and gentlemen, finding out your path in life is going to save you time, and it's going to save the people you come into. It's going to save them time, perhaps a decade. Because when you know what you want, you gotta speak on it. Sometimes things are beautiful at the start, and that is exactly where they'll stay. By design, by the goals of that person. And to that I say, that's amazing. Have you achieved relative victory early on in life? That is exceptional. And we shouldn't be so quick to see such as an indicator of further flight. Why? Because for some people, they're okay on the front porch. They bought it. They earned it. They wanted it. They got it. Who be it of me to judge? Well, I'll tell you this, my friends. You gotta be careful when you become situationally aware. You gotta continue to ask. You gotta continue to do the why, when, who, where, why, and how. And is this the finish, or is this just a pause? Why? Because clear communication, comprehension could very well much change the pace of the nation. Nothing wrong with getting your goals done early. It's actually quite impressive. But that's when the other conversation comes about. Hey, this is amazing. Where did you want to go from here? You know, that's as much on you as it is on them to be mindful of each other's hourglasses. And it may just prevent some awful, nasty heartache. Be good. Keep pushing.